It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. A very happy Wednesday to you. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. They're Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the show. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. We love them very much and appreciate their sponsorship even more. James, I meant to ask you this. Well, I was going to call you on my way home yesterday.
Oh?
Which is different because I don't typically like calling people. But when you're here, I was here later than Jesse yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, that's very rare. In fact, I can't think of a day where I've been in this building longer than Jesse is.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, well, we had cuts yesterday. We had final cuts for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And because of my hour and a half commute home, that's a big thing at Niners Wire. When you blog about an NFL team, cut down day is like you saw it yesterday, like 9:51, there was something I had to do and I had to write it real quick and get it out. But I just, with my drive home, it cuts were due at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I left right after the show, there's a chance that those come down and I'm still half an hour from home, half an hour, 40 minutes from home.
Yeah, totally. I get it.
So I couldn't leave right after the show anyway. So I ended up sitting here. They don't drop cuts until like 1:48, which is a bummer. But anyway, so I got through that. There's all the stuff that's got to go out after that. Then I got to record a podcast, which it was either record it here or go home and not record it until like 9 or 10 last night, which sounded awful. So I ended up just being here for a really long time yesterday. And then on the way home, you know, sometimes you start to get a little tired while you're driving, and in that case, you should pull over. I have my spot that I pull over in Elk Grove. There's a parking lot with a bunch of trees. It's really nice. But if I call someone, I'm good. Like that snaps me back. I'm ready to go. And I was gonna call you on my way home. Wound up not doing that. Jamming out to some music and forgot to call. My bad.
You could have called. I know I could have.
I just started jamming out to music and I forgot.
Okay.
So then I meant to text you last night. And forgot. Because while I was standing there yesterday, I'm talking to Charlie. Having a grand time talking to Charlie. Aaron, the tribal chief, the big boss here. Our big boss.
Yes.
There's people above him, but for these purposes, he's our big boss. He's in a closed door meeting. Aaron in a closed door meeting is like, oh.
Oh.
Like that's interesting. Because he's very approachable. People stand in the doorway, chit-chat with him. I've gone in there and just sat down and talked with him. Nice guy. So a closed door meeting is like, oh, something real is going on. So I'm standing there talking to Charlie. Aaron gets up, opens his door, points at Charlie and goes, "You're recruiting him, right?"
Oh.
And I'm like, what does this mean? This involves you, by the way, James. I'm not just telling this story just to tell it.
Oh, great.
So he goes, "You're recruiting him, right?" And Charlie looks at him like, what are you talking about? I looked at him the same way. Well, I looked at Charlie first, didn't I? And he goes, "You're recruiting him to be our 12th. Or to be team number 12. Or to team number 12.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
Fantasy league?
About? Yes.
Fantasy league.
They're doing an office fantasy league.
Oh, no.
And they would like the insiders to be team number 12.
We get to share the team?
We get to share the team.
Okay.
And here's my thought.
Okay.
So I figured you would be down. It's. I don't know if I want to say this out loud. It's not like a crazy number. It's $50 to buy in.
Each?
No.
Total?
So 25 a person.
Oh, well, that's nothing.
25 for you and me. So here's what I want to do. Because as you know, ABC always be contenting. I wanted to make this a radio bit.
Oh.
So I would like to join this league with you. So we can manage this team. But we're going to loop the listeners in as well. Chatty House, whether you're in the Chatty House or just watching on Twitch or YouTube, which thank you, shout out. Maybe you're listening on ESPN 1320. Maybe you are listening on the Odyssey app. Maybe you download the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast and you listen there wherever you get your podcast. But of course, you can also get that on the free Odyssey app. If we win, I think that we should have a round on us at an establishment nearby.
Okay.
Like, that's what our if we get, I don't know what the winnings are, but if it's like winner take all, it's a 12-team league, so winner take all, we get $600. All right. We're putting $600 on a tab.
We should probably find like a really low budget bar somewhere in like South Sac.
The diviest spot we can find.
Yeah, because if we have some bougie spot here in
yeah,
Roseville,
right.
That's going to get us like 8 drinks.
Right, we can invite 7 people.
7 people. Come in.
We'll buy one drink. We'll find a spot. Maybe we can make it a thing. Maybe we'll talk to sales and see if there's what was the play? I don't want to start calling places out, but we've done a watch party at an establishment that's not the one of these places that you're going to get a $50 Cosmo. I think we should do this.
Will Z's throwing out the Pine Cove.
Like, I don't know what that.
You don't know the Pine Cove?
You went
to Sac State.
Yeah.
The Pine Cove has, they used to have pictures of Pabst Blue Ribbon on tap. They have Pabst Blue Ribbon on tap, so
beauty.
It's super cheap.
Yeah.
And they have karaoke night.
That sounds great. It sounds like my kind of spot.
Yeah.
No, I don't underestimate 21 to 26-year-old Kyle's desire to drink at home alone.
Oh, wow.
It got dark, Coach. It got a little dark. So that is the thing I would like to do. And that way, when we're talking about this fantasy team, it involves, like, it directly benefits the listener if we do well. And now we have something to talk to Faraz about.
That's right. We can use Faraz to win this league.
And I told Charlie, hey, one caveat is nobody else can talk to Faraz.
Oh.
Only we can. And Charlie's like, absolutely not, because I would also like to talk to Faraz.
That's funny.
And I went, that's fine, but he doesn't, no more email, no, nobody else gets his email or his phone number. So Charlie might talk to him directly. And then I said, if people in the league want to listen and jump in the chatty house and ask Faraz questions on Fantasy Fridays, then by all means, we're not going to stop you. But we have a direct line.
We do.
And I plan on using it.
Yeah, we're going to.
Okay. So you're in?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'll go let Aaron know.
I typically don't take on more fantasy leagues. And I also, you know, there was a point where I was in the circle of trust with Aaron and Seth and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we
booted Aaron.
We created the triangle of avoidance. The triangle of avoidance. I don't know what Kyle's doing over there.
No,
but to avoid Aaron, but like there are sometimes when you get pulled into a project where you're like, how did this happen?
Yes.
How did I end up being part of the team that's designing a set in the studio?
Because you're one of four people who are here every day.
Yes. So then we realized that if we were able to avoid those situations by like not being in the common room like at the wrong time, then we could avoid getting stuck in these projects.
See, and this is where it's tough with Aaron. Aaron's our big boss. If he walks into that room with purpose, I typically bounce.
Oh yeah, you got to go.
That's why when you see me, I'm always in that standing in the back when I'm out there, kind of by the sink, because that's easy out.
Yep,
I can get back behind the lockers. There's a way out to the door where I don't have to be seen. And when he walks in with a purpose, it's like, oh no.
Oh no.
But sometimes he walks in with a purpose to ask if you want In-N-Out.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's Fridays.
And like, man.
Yeah.
If burgers are on him, it's hard to say no.
That's true.
So you got to gauge, like, what's the vibe? If it's a busy day, like we've got this big meeting thing coming up in October. If it's around that time and he walks in with his purposeful strut, see ya.
Side door.
See ya.
Yep.
But Friday afternoon, there's 6 people here. Vibes are good. He comes strutting in. Where you headed, Coach? Where are we going? Going to Bennett's?
Yeah, going to Bennett's. We've done that.
Tomahawk or what?
Have a tomahawk bottle of wine.
Gonna have a good time down at Bennett's. So I will let him know that you and I, and frankly, the entire listening audience of the Insiders, will be the 12th team in the Odyssey Sacramento Fantasy League.
Okay. We should beat these guys up. I mean,
I totally like, agree. Fantasy wise. I totally agree. I'm 100% with you. There's no reason we shouldn't win this league. What we'll have to do is track down people who are both in the league and in the office and get them in here from time to time, especially in the week we play them.
How long have you played fantasy football?
Not as long as you have, obviously, since you've been playing longer than I've been alive. I don't think that's quite.
No, I have. I have played longer than you've been alive. It's my 35th season.
Oh, boy. Just turned 34, so wow. Yeah, I was probably 14 or 15, so 19 or 20 years.
So we can tout that we have over 50 years of fantasy football experience.
Oh, comfortably over 50 years of fantasy football
there
experience.
It is.
Yeah. We have. Oh, boy.
We're ready. If we don't thrash these guys.
It's going to be a tough look for us. It's going to be. I'm excited to come up with excuses if we do lose, though.
Yeah.
I'm excited to just be big time excuse guy. All right, great. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be the 12th team. And if any monies we win from our fantasy league here at Odyssey, we will be letting you know where we're buying drinks.
That's right. People in the chatty house saying that I drafted Bart Starr. Zabo, that's not true. I did. I think my first fantasy quarterback was Randall Cunningham.
Oh, my God.
Big Randall Cunningham fan over here.
Oh, okay, hang on. So now I need to do this. So the 1990 season would have been your first one?
Probably.
Your first... The MVP of the 1990 NFL season, do you know?
No, it's not.
Don't overthink it.
Jerry Rice?
Close. Joe Montana.
Joe Montana.
The offensive rookie of the year James Hamm started playing fantasy football, Emmitt Smith. The defensive rookie of the year, Mark Carrier.
Mm.
The offensive player of the year, Warren Moon. The defensive player of the year, Bruce Smith. Jerry Rice did lead the league in receiving. Shocker.
Okay. Yeah, Warren Moon was a star. I think I may have had Warren Moon at one point during that season.
Dang, the Bills beat the Raiders 51-3 in the AFC title game that year. Oof.
Whew. All right.
Poor Bills, man. That's tough.
That's a long time.
Losing four Super Bowls in a row is...
It's the worst.
Like, yeah. I know where I sit as a 49er fan.
Mm-hmm.
Having watched the last 5 years where they've lost... Two NFC title games and two Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
And I know how much that sucks. Going to four consecutive Super Bowls and losing all of them. Like, that that Bills team just awesome. They went to the 4 years in a row. Mm. You went to the Super Bowl and you didn't win one. Like, forget not winning a Super Bowl. That's just objectively incredible.
Yes.
Like, what a team. And they're just lost to history now.
Totally.
Because... Mike Norwood, or whatever his name was, missed a kick.
Scott Norwood?
Scott Norwood. Thank
Scott
you.
Norwood.
Scott Norwood. That's correct.
I think that first year, I lost the Super Bowl, and I got stiffed. I never got my money for winning second place.
Hopefully the Bills didn't get stiffed.
No.
Losing the Super Bowl that year.
Plus, we had an incident where a guy who... owned a pizza place right next to the grocery. I played in a grocery store league before I was a grocery store person, but there was a... I worked grocery when I was young.
Uh-huh.
But it was before I worked grocery. I had a friend who worked at the grocery store and I got in their league.
Oh, you got looped in.
And we had...
Okay.
And the guy that owned the pizza place right next to the grocery store was in the league. So we had the draft at his pizza spot. And then midway through the season, he started trading pizzas for players. And we start having some issues with the
league. You can't do that.
Yeah, it got a little wild.
That's the plug-ola payola thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it got a little weird.
So he was stealing pizzas from his job.
Well, he owned the pizza spot.
Oh, okay.
No, he owned the pizza spot. He started giving pizzas to sweeten the deal to make trades.
That is, you super cannot do that. That's collusion.
It was. It was not good.
I'm very lenient when it comes to fantasy sports leagues. It's your league. Like, do what you want.
Yeah.
if somebody wants to fleece somebody else in a trade and that person doesn't know what they're doing, all right, hey, you should have taken advantage. Like that stuff happens. Now, if I'm in last and you're in first in a league,
uh-huh,
and you have whatever injury, and I call you and I go, hey, dude, I know you have this injury. I'm out here. Just have this person give me whatever. That sucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's trash. But if I just don't know what I'm doing and I get fleeced in a trade,
okay,
it happens.
It does.
But using pizza or money or any other goods and or service to sweeten the deal in a trade, big thumbs down. Keep it within the scope of the fantasy league.
What's the strangest rule you've ever had in a fantasy league?
Honestly, not one. I've never had a weird ass. I did one year where kick return yards counted. But
oh, yeah,
but like an exorbitant amount. It was like a point for every 10 kick return yards.
Oh yeah, no, that's not good.
Outrageous. So you've got like Steve Breston was the MVP of that league. And all these random ass wide receivers and running backs are just awesome because they rack up all these kick return yards. It was dumb.
Yeah, we may have like kicked the tires on that early on, but it was like, no.
Major, major thumbs down for me.
So we had a rule in our league that if you had a player on your roster, they got arrested, you owed $10. And then it got a little wild. Like one guy ended up having six different players get arrested. So he owed like almost as much in fees for the arrests as he did for his fantasy football buy-in.
That's wild.
It got up to like $60 in a $100 or $120 buy-in league.
Yikes, man.
So we got rid of that rule because it became too much.
Yeah, that's silly. I like that idea. Like, that's a fun little side thing, but you can't have it where somebody's paying more than the...
No.
Than the...
We also, in our league, we have... You know, like you go off last year's record for how you draft, right? Mm-hmm. But we allow the worst team in the league to choose his draft position.
Right.
And then we go in order. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're the first pick, you could be number eight if mm-hmm. you want. You get mm-hmm. to choose wherever you want to be in the draft.
I like that. Yeah. I like that idea. I also like the auction budget. Not auction budget. I just conflated two things. Auction drafts are fun.
Okay.
But the free agent budget.
We have that. We have a $100 free agent budget.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot more than waivers.
Yeah, we bumped up our price because it used to be that you would charge like $3 a pickup or whatever, right? And then some teams would pick up a whole bunch of people and then trying to get money out of people at the end of the season when, again, they owe a whole bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're a dollar pickup and some team picks up like 40 players during the season, then trying to go out and collect that money so you can pay the winners isn't usually great.
No.
So we got rid of that and we bumped up our money and then we did the $100 budget. So.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Can't wait. I'm excited. I'm excited that you're excited about being in this Odyssey Fantasy League.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the free content. Speaking of fantasy football, Brandon Ayuk update? Negative. No update.
The update is there is no update.
I know that final cuts happened yesterday and stuff. I also want to pick up some of the quarterback conversation we were having yesterday because we got cut short a little bit on that. Just some 49ers related news here. Four players that they waived were claimed by other teams. Nothing major here. Linebacker Jalen Graham went to the Commanders. Undrafted running back Cody Schrader went to the Rams. Cornerback Samuel Womack, who was cut yesterday, he went to the Colts. And rookie offensive lineman Jarrett Kingston landed with the Panthers. I'm thinking out of those names, honestly, Jarrett Kingston, the offensive lineman, is probably the one they're most upset did not make it back to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what happens. It's part of final cuts.
Yeah, they did not get a single waiver claim.
No.
Which just means they're too high on the list and for the players that they wanted.
Yeah, they were 31st.
Oh, yeah.
On waivers. So anybody who's worth a damn isn't making it all the way to 31. We'll put a pin in the NFL stuff, though. I do want to dive into that. But it was announced this morning, the release date for Starting Five, which is the documentary-style NBA show that Netflix is putting on. It's like quarterback, like receiver, but it's starting five. It's the one that features LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Jimmy Butler, and Domantas Sabonis. Release date for that, October 9.
Ooh.
Week before the regular season begins. October 9. Can't wait. I'm really excited for that. This is a big deal.
I'm excited for this too. This is what, like, I was at practice one day, and the producers for the show came over and pulled me and Sean Cunningham aside and said, "Hey, can we get you guys to talk about Domas?" And we're like, "Okay." We had kind of no idea what was happening until we're like, "Oh wait, this is what this is for." I don't know if Sean or I will make the final cut. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But either way, I think it was pretty cool that we were at least asked to go and have conversations about it. Maybe like 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of conversation with the with the production crew. Very, very nice people. And I think the one takeaway I had was that was one day I wore a baseball hat to
hilarious
to the gym, which I never do. Usually I dress like normal every single time I go in there.
What's not normal about a baseball hat?
Well,
inquiring minds would like to know.
I dress differently for when I go to the arena, right?
Try to be a little more professional.
Yeah. And
I wear a hat to the arena every time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I ended up wearing my Pabst Blue Ribbon hat, which is, you know, and then I had to take it off. And I'm like, okay, like, I've got to take off the Pabst Blue Ribbon hat.
Did they make you take it off?
No, but I don't think you want Pabst. I mean, it looked, you've seen my Pabst hat. It's beat up. It's already like a beat up, like, looking hat. That's it's sure. like a retro looking sure. hat. But then mine is like 4 years old.
You want to keep the air of bourgeois.
Yeah, it's smart, yeah. Well, if you're going to be potentially be on a Netflix show, then yes. You're like, hey, hang on a sec. I've got to fix my hair.
Yeah.
I was trying to get someone else to let me switch hats. No one would switch hats with me. I'm like, come
absolutely
on.
Not.
Come on, people.
No, if you were like, hey, I need to wear your hat right now. My life depends on it. I'd be like, oh, sorry, dude. Like, that's weird.
I would have just bought you a new hat if you needed it. So either way, we'll see if we make the final cut or not. But
I think you will. I have faith.
Well, we'll see. I'm not all that concerned about it. But I will say that I love that Domas is getting this opportunity.
1,000%.
Because this is, you know, there are a lot of things that you can look at that happens with a player over the course of his career. But while we were discussing this earlier, I think Kirk Cousins, the way that Kirk Cousins has changed his image completely with the quarterback show, because, I mean, I think we've all seen, like, the clip of, like, the older Vikings fan, the older lady, and they're like, they're trying to get her to name Vikings, and then she goes off on Kirk Cousins. Like, she's just embarrassed that he's on the team, right? Kirk Cousins had, like, a certain image before he went on that show, and then now everyone loves him, you know, like, they just adore him.
It's wild how fast that turnaround happened.
Yes, and I don't think Domas will be the quote-unquote star of the show. I mean, again, we're talking about LeBron, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, and him. There are some bigger names that are clearly in that. But I do think, knowing Domas and being around him enough, he will be the most authentic person in that entire production. And you will feel a sense of family and a sense of like, just how good of a dude he is. And I believe it will change a lot of how he is perceived outside of Sacramento.
Totally agree.
How he is perceived globally, or like, here in the United States. And I actually think it will be one of those things that helps him make all-star teams. It will help him make all-NBA.
1,000%.
And I also think that, like, if he can get those all-stars, those all-NBA, strangely enough, despite the fact that he is a great player and should already be in this conversation, it will help catapult him into that Hall of Fame conversation even more than he is today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of, and that's what we talk so much about, like, getting Domas some kind of recognition.
Yeah.
And winning 94 games across 2 years is nice, but it's one playoff series win. So how do you get national exposure without that, and this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is such a great way to elevate him in people's minds. Who, if you're a East Coast media person or an East Coast fan, or maybe even a Central time zone fan or media person, you're not watching a ton of West Coast basketball to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings are probably on the list of teams that people are randomly picking out to watch. It's probably behind the LeBron James Lakers, the Steph Curry Warriors, and the Kawhi Leonard Paul George Clippers. Like, that's just kind of how it's been.
Yeah.
So this to me is going to be the thing that this can elevate Domas. It'll, I think, elevate the Kings, where you're going to have people now who watch this show who are like, man, Domantas Sabonis, what a dude. I'm going to tap in. I'm a Sabonis guy now. The yep. Kings are my West Coast team now. I don't think it's going to be tens of millions of people. I don't think we're gonna see Domas become the face of the NBA or something or anything crazy. But I do think that's going to matter when it comes to, hey, Domantas Sabonis' double-double streak is not a major thing here, a footnote on ESPN, and that's it. It would be like a national type of story. Oh, he almost averaged a triple-double. Very obviously an all-star, very obviously an all-NBA guy. Like that's going to start to be the conversation. And it's well deserved. It sucks that it takes a Netflix series to get there, but that's just kind of the reality of the situation.
Well, yeah, and I think humanizing players is like one of the best things that to do it in written word all the time. You mm-hmm. know, again, I've written so many stories on the Sacramento Kings trying to mm-hmm. humanize players in different mm-hmm. ways. And it's just really difficult, you know, with Domas, so it's a great story.
Yeah.
And I think he gets glossed over quite a bit. Like, his dad is one of the greatest players the world has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him, like, I've told that you watch him walk down the hall with his dad. He looks like a little kid next to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
His dad is one of the most...
Just a mammoth person.
Just the biggest people you've ever met yeah. in your entire life. And, I think that, like, being in the shadow of his dad is something that he's always been.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait for people to see, like, really, it's the spirit of Domas that you will see, I believe, if it's done correctly. It's just like there's such an authenticity to him.
Mm-hmm.
He talks so fast when he does interviews. He's never comfortable really in front of the media,
mm-hmm.
but he's funny. He's a great teammate. And then you're going to watch him with his wife and his kids and like just spectacular. Like that dude loves being a dad. He loves yeah. being around kids and just watching him at his camp this week. It just like cements it. You're watching mm-hmm. him like trying to be a dad the whole time. And it's really cool. And I hope that people around the globe get to see a lot of him and kind of have a new appreciation for him.
Yeah. And I think they will. And the off-court stuff, yeah, that's what endears people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anybody can watch something on the court. It's that off-court stuff, that personality away from... That's why I like Drive to Survive so much. Same deal. Like, drivers on the track are fun, but it's the off-the-track stuff that appeals those drivers to me, those people that I previously knew nothing about. So, really excited for that. We'll continue diving into that, though. We mentioned LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, and Jimmy Butler also in that show. What are the expectations here? What are you hoping to see? 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the program, NFL cutdown day was yesterday. We're seeing a ton of roster moves today. We'll go over those as well. And then we had a really good conversation about NFL quarterbacks that I would like to continue today because we didn't get all the way into it. So all of that coming up today on The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. We're back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Hitter.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James over there, Kyle right here, Jiffy Lube Omnipresent. They sponsor the program. Salute to Jiffy Lube. We love them very much. James, we're giving stuff away. Let the people know.
Yeah, Six Flags Discovery Kingdom, online only. If you go to ESPN1320.com, they have your chance to score tickets to Six Flags Discovery Kingdom.
Yeah.
Just fill out the entry form and submit it at ESPN1320.com for your chance to visit the thrill capital of Northern California.
Yeah.
The prize, a 4-pack of Six Flags admission tickets, courtesy of Six Flags Discovery Kingdom. Again, go to ESPN1320.com, fill out the entry form, and jump in the contest. There it is.
You read something right at the right when the break started. What was it?
Right when the break started?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That was so long ago, Kyle.
Golden State Warriors are doing their training camp in Hawaii this year.
Oh, they are doing their training camp in Hawaii.
I was trying to tee up. Here we go.
My bad.
Of all the signs that Golden State is, this iteration of Golden State is finished. Finished winning titles, competing for titles. Again, Warriors fan talking here. I would like to see Steph Curry do many more great things in his career, but winning a title with the Warriors is not a thing I think he's going to do again. Maybe they'll surprise me, but anyways, the biggest sign yet is that they're doing their training camp in Hawaii. They're like, hey, bros, you just want to go hang out in Hawaii for a month? You just want to go down there instead? Before, yeah, let's go hang out.
Before the lick up cash cow like ends
right,
completely,
right.
You think we could all get a trip to Hawaii?
Right. Before this becomes a bad look because the full rebuild has started. Steph, where do you want to do training camp this year? Hey, Steph, sorry about the clay thing. Where do you want to do training? Hawaii? You'd like to go to Hawaii? Okay, we're going to, that's where we're doing it. Like, they're chilling. It's all vibes. I love it.
It's all vibes.
Good for them.
Except for Brandon Podziemski, who's like, dude, you know how sunburned I'm going to get? I'm going to be so sunburned going into this season.
Long sleeves, his sun shirt, the big sun hat. Tough look for our guy Pods.
Stupid red hair.
He's going to hang out on the lanai the whole time. Dude, I need, if anybody from the Sacramento Kings is listening to this program, thank you, first of all.
Don't do it, Kyle. Don't do it, Kyle.
Second of all, would love to have the Kings go to Hawaii.
Okay, so they've done, during my time covering the team, they've done a full training camp in at UC Santa Barbara.
That would work, too. I will take that as well.
Okay, so
something that we can justify doing a remote in one of these places.
I did not go to that one. My partner at the time, John Santiago, went.
Shout out to Johnny Sons.
It was the early years of, it was DeMarcus Cousins, and they drafted Jimmer that year.
Mm.
And so DeMarcus, Jimmer, and Chris Mullen got in a three-point shootout, and that video went viral. My dude, John Santiago, posted that video at Cowbell, and it went viral. Like, we had everyone calling us because Chris Mullen hit like 15 consecutive threes. Mm-hmm. He just wouldn't stop hitting every single three.
As he does.
Yeah, he busted up Jimmer and DeMarcus. Like, if that wasn't foreshadowing, I don't know what was. Then one other year, this was the 1 year that Rondo was on the team. So what is this, 2015? We went to San Diego, University of San Diego.
I would go there too.
Yeah, UC San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on campus in La Jolla. And it was, that was a good time.
I bet.
There was very few of us there.
Did they do the whole training camp there? Like a month or whatever
it is?
Well,
no. Training camp is technically only like 5 or 6 days.
Really?
Yeah. In reality, training camp is only 5 or 6 days.
Why did I feel like we talked about training camp for a month last year?
Because training camp rolls into preseason, but once preseason starts, training camp is officially over. We just keep calling it training camp the whole time because it's still camp.
That's what. Well, okay. Yeah. So there, that in the NFL too, some people think once preseason week one starts, training camp's over. But then, what are the practices? That's all still training camp to me.
Yeah, it feels like training camp, and it should be training camp.
I call it.
But technically, it's not. So yeah, it's just different. So I was down there. That was an interesting year. I'm trying to think. That is George Karl. Nancy Lieberman was on the squad. Was on the staff. I believe that's George Karl. Maybe I'm wrong. It might have been the year after George Karl. All these years run in together. I got to be honest. But
yeah, I bet.
Let's see. I can find out what year. just by looking up Rondo. The 1 year he, I just remember Rondo being at camp. And also, it's the 2015-16 season of Sacramento Kings basketball. And the one big takeaway, yeah, it was George Karl. That's the one full season. And we had all kinds of mess there. That
yeah, that season didn't go great.
It didn't start out great either. The snake in the grass comments and stuff from Cousins, you know, aimed at George Karl because George Karl literally tried to trade him during the offseason, even though he wasn't the GM. Yeah, that whole thing kind of spun out very quickly.
Hey, if you have a head coach who's trying to trade your best player,
yeah,
you gotta cut bait.
Yeah. No, it was very strange. A couple of things. Number one, Olden Polonese showed up to training camp. George Karl had invited him to be like just a help out guest coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had an affinity for Olden Polonese. He's clearly done some things that aren't great, and his Twitter account is not always great. But I did sing in a karaoke booth with Olden Polonese when I was young. That's a whole other story for another day. So there's that. And then, they're also just to shout out my friends, Deuce and Mo, Deuce was having Morgan. I'm going to just flay Deuce here for a minute.
Perfect.
He was having Morgan, videotape him shooting, half court shots so he could make some sort of hype video. And he was probably 15 misses in. And I was sitting there laughing, and, you know, Morgan kept grabbing the ball and throwing it out to him. And he was like, you know, doing a thing and like throwing up a half court shot, couldn't hit a half court shot. She's like, I want to shoot one. He's like, no, no, no. And he kept like pushing her off. And then finally she's like, fine, I'm shooting one. Nothing but net on the first shot from Morgan Reagan. Just demoralized Deuce, and it was a funny moment.
The funny part is all of that sounds like a video that they would shoot now.
Yes. They were still doing like the same thing then.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. I love that.
That was a long time ago.
Shout out to Deuce and Mo.
Yeah, that was a good trip though. That was a fun, like me and Sean Cunningham down there together most of the time. I even had to like help him shoot a shot like over the bay, like he was doing the news report at one point. And
why don't we, for King's training camp, just go to San Diego?
Yes,
we'll just go to San Diego. Okay. The Kings will be here.
Yep,
and we'll do King's training camp stuff from there.
Yeah,
I love this idea.
I do. Too.
I'd never been to San Diego until I went for my bachelor party.
Oh, in
February of a couple years ago now.
Okay,
and I'd never been. And my friend goes all the time and was like, you should do this. I was like, yeah, it sounds like a good time.
It's yeah.
Cheaper than Vegas. We had a blast. And now I just never want to not be in San Diego.
Oh, no, it's a great spot. So is Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara is a great spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we've gotten sidetracked again.
Yeah, no, as one does. What were we doing? The Domas show. That's where we're at.
Yeah, that's where we're
starting five. Starting five, Domantas Sabonis is in a show with LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, Jimmy Butler. Here's the other thing. We're talking about how much this could benefit Domas from just this doesn't help the Kings championship odds, obviously.
No.
But when it comes to how Domas is perceived nationally, how the Kings are perceived nationally, I think this could be really helpful. We've talked about that in the last segment. But also you talked about how he might be the only one who's like really authentic in this.
Yes.
I think Anthony Edwards will be too, because I think that's just kind of his brand and who he is. But at the same time, everybody's seen Ant now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows. Nobody's mind people's minds might change about Anthony Edwards, but nobody's being put on to Anthony Edwards with this show. Same thing with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler might be like, oh, Jimmy being Jimmy, but everybody knows what that is now.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like Ant-Man might be the star of the show.
Yeah.
But the heart of the show is it for me will likely be Domas. Like
yeah.
if they portray him the way that I've seen him, I think he'll be one of those players where you're instantly like, okay,
yeah,
I get it. I get it now. He's different. And right. Yeah, I'm all in on Domas.
But people know who Ant is. People know who Jimmy is. I think Jason Tatum's probably pretty boring. But I also think that Jason Tatum might get that same thing that you're talking about with Domas.
Yeah.
Family man, great with his kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see Jason Tatum being just really chill off the court and people being like, wow, what a guy.
Yeah.
100%. And frankly, I think he could use it after he wins a title, doesn't win finals MVP, gets dogged for his we did it thing after the finals, goes to the Olympics and wins a gold medal, but the only story coming out of the Olympics is that he didn't play.
Yep.
Even though he did. But there were games, two games where he didn't play at all. So I think this is going to be a big deal for Jason Tatum. Just kind of, I don't mean this the way it's going to sound. I don't give a rip about the LeBron angle of this show.
Mm.
This has nothing to do with, I think LeBron is great. I actually tend to lean toward liking LeBron versus not liking him. I don't know what else there is to know. I don't know that I'm going to learn anything significant about LeBron in this show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because
I feel like I just know the guy. He's been around for 22 years now.
I think so too. I think the one thing that you'll see from LeBron, which I think they're going to try to capture, is that he is a family guy and that he's loved by his boys and he loves his boys and he's there for all of their events and him and his wife and all that. So I think you're going to get that. I hope that, like, for his sake, these shows are supposed to show something different in you. And I hope that he lets his guard down and actually he's real in the moment.
Yes.
Because I think that, like, again, Anthony Edwards can't help but be real.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to get from him. You're going to be like, oh, this dude is real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it. Like, he's zany, he's weird, and all that stuff. And I think with Jason Tatum, you're going to see him and Deuce, like his son, like in
not Deuce Mason.
No, but that whole relationship, and you're going to be like, all right, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not sure what Jimmy Butler is going to do, as you know, they're just going to keep showing Jimmy on the beach and like people roller skating.
I can't
by
wait
something.
To see what
sure.
A day in the life of Jimmy Butler is like.
Yeah, but I think when you watch A Day in the Life of Jimmy Butler, it's going to be like, okay, this isn't really the show that I wanted to see, lifestyles of the rich and famous, because that's what I think how Jimmy Butler might come across. And that's where, again, I think Domas has this opportunity, because no one knows him and they haven't watched, like, with Jason Tatum, you've watched Deuce grow up, like, on the court with him the whole time. You haven't seen that with Domas, so you're going to see, like, this whole different side of him. Yeah. And maybe even the father side, you know, like, if they have Arvidas there, you hope that they have that as part of the film, as part of the show as well.
The thing you mentioned with LeBron, and maybe, and I think this is where my... This is a flaw in my thought process, because I'm dialed into this. You're dialed into this. Anybody listening to a sports talk radio show on August 28th at 10:48 a.m. is dialed into this. Everybody knows how LeBron is there for his everything with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing when he went to the Lakers. Was what's the Sierra Canyon?
Yeah, Sierra Canyon.
Like, hey, Bronny's going to go there. He's going to be able to go to his games. He's at all these games. He's been all these viral videos of LeBron courtside at the games and all this stuff. Like, we've known about that. But if you're just, I think, the typical, like, replacement level NBA basketball fan probably does not know that about him. So I think that's a good point. I think you're going to see a lot of that with LeBron around his family. What I hope this isn't, and this is something you also brought up, I hope this isn't LeBron being super calculated, trying to make sure that, like, okay, hey, make sure you catch me reading this book, and, oh, I want to make sure I'm going to this place to... I hope he's as natural as a person who's been famous since he was 14 years old can be.
Yeah. It's going to be really tough.
Extremely tough.
Like, like, every single, like, shot can't be, like, in a... like on a white leather couch and
a wine cellar. Like, yeah, we know all that. Like, we got it. I want that interaction with Savannah. I want that interaction with his kids. I would love to see that. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I fear for Jason Tatum a little bit, 'cause the word is out that he's already boring.
Oh.
And I'm really, really worried that that's just going to be the overall vibe.
Okay.
No, I hope it isn't, because we've seen, like I said, we've seen Deuce since Deuce was a baby.
Yeah.
Sitting courtside. And now we see him, you know, running around wearing his dad's jersey, doing the whole thing. That's been really cool to see. And there was that really viral picture of him picking Deuce up after they won the title, and there's all the confetti around. Really, really awesome. Hope to see a ton of those interactions.
Yes.
Because from everything I understand about Jason Tatum, he's not that interesting of a dude.
Maybe he is, and we just don't know it.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so.
Yeah, it's
I'm
intriguing.
Rooting for him. I'm rooting for the guy.
And I hope that that's the same with Domas. I hope it comes across. I hope that his sense of
humor. Yeah.
I hope his sense of humor comes across, and the love of family and all that stuff. We do have, like, somewhat breaking news. Like, Russell Wilson will be the starter on week one, according to Ian Rappaport. Also, the Raiders have cut defensive tackle Byron Young, their third round pick from last year. Alabama.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Alabama product gets cut. Boy, they cut guys early.
The Niners have too.
Yeah.
They've cut, I think they have 19 picks in the last 2 years, and I think they've cut 8 of them.
Whew.
Yeah, not great. Not great. There were that draft is funny, because there were two Byron Youngs. And okay. I think the Raiders drafted the one from Alabama, and I think the Rams drafted the one from Tennessee.
Okay.
One was a defensive tackle, one was a defensive end. So far, the Rams winning the Byron Young battle, I think. Although I don't even know.
Maybe the Rams will claim Byron Young, and they can have two.
Maybe. Just, nope, that's the wrong one.
Just double up.
Hang on. Byron. It's funny, when you type in Byron Young into Football Reference, both Byron Youngs pop up, but they both say 2023.
Oh.
Because that's their draft year. So I guess the wrong one.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. The Rams Byron Young started 16 games and had 8 sacks last year.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Decent little player.
I think you can never have enough Byron Young, so you might as well just bring in the other.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, BY squared. Just like run it out there.
I don't know, man. The Niners cutting their draft picks that early. Like, I get it with Danny Gray. He was going into year 3 and just didn't do a lot in year 1, was basically healthy on IR all of last year, and then didn't do enough this preseason to show that, hey, he has grown and become a good NFL receiver. But Cam Latu and Braden Willis,
I think
second year tight ends.
The problem that you have with Gray is that the second that Cowing stepped on the court on the field, you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, that's what Danny Gray was supposed to look like.
Yes, like that is 1,000% correct.
Okay, that guy's got to go. You're staying. He's mm-hmm. going. It's pretty clear.
I never got, there was this a sect of 49er fandom that was so obsessed with Danny Gray.
Mm.
And even going into this offseason was like, this is it, he's going to break out. Like, are you watching? Are you paying attention? He had one catch as a rookie. He was healthy and on IR for all of last year. They were bringing dudes up from practice squads when they needed receiver help and not activating Danny Gray. Mm. And then this year, it was really clear that he hadn't carved out any kind of role in the offense. And Jacob Cowing did everything that Danny Gray is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, it was a redundant skill set to begin with when he was drafted, and then you saw that he could actually play, and that was night-night. Like, it's okay. Danny Gray was awesome at SMU, I think, is where he went.
Yeah.
He was awesome and super fast and did all that. He's not an NFL player that the 49ers want to keep. Maybe he catches on elsewhere. Maybe he's the kind of player that Andy Reid, I think, takes in and goes, okay, you're good at these two things. When you're on the field, these are the two things you're going to do. And just maximizes whatever that is. And I hope he goes to a team that allows him to do that and allows him to maximize the skill set that he does have. It just wasn't going to be the 49ers.
Yeah, I hope he gets an opportunity to make a team. I mean, mm-hmm. like, you've spent 3 years, and what's he got? 3 total catches? 6 total catches?
Danny Gray?
Yeah.
One catch.
Oof. Yeah, I'm kind of ready for him not to be there, and, like, you got to move on.
Sometimes you got to, that's the Raiders cutting Byron Young.
Yeah.
Like, A, they're first of all, it's a new front office, new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in those situations, you might see players who the previous regime would have given a second or third chance to. They're going, hey, this guy's not cutting it. This guy is now part of our program. He's gone.
Yeah.
That to me is okay, the previous regime missed. Current regime says get him out of here. They're overhauling the defensive line. They're overhauling what the defense looks like. I think they've done a lot of the right things. Okay, you're getting the benefit of the doubt. That's not that big of a deal.
See, that's why I think the NFL very specifically is so, like, having continuity is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because guys are drafted for specific schemes. Guys are drafted because they're this type of guy for this type of coach.
Yeah.
And then if you're rotating coaches all the time, you're mm-hmm. always cutting guys that could actually play. You're just not going to give them a chance because they're not one of your guys.
Yeah.
Where I think, like in basketball, because the contracts are guaranteed and everything else, if you're going to move a guy, it's because, you know, you're moving a salary and you're going to go find something different and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With the NFL, it's just like, oh, no, we're just going to bounce these guys.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
I can't tell if the 49ers are good at drafting. I don't, like, 2022, Cameron Latu, third round pick, gone. Braden Willis, seventh round pick, gone. Jalen Graham, seventh round pick, gone. 2022, Drake Jackson, second round pick, hurt, hasn't been a factor. Tyrion Davis-Price, gone. Danny Gray, gone. Spencer Burford, now a backup. Sam Womack, gone. Yep. Nick Zakel, a backup. Kalia Davis, hurt. Tariq Castro-Fields was gone as a rookie. Brock Purdy, good pick. Trey Lance, gone. Trey Sermon, gone. Ambry Thomas on the team, but likely not going to contribute, likely gone. Elijah Mitchell, now hurt. Elijah Mitchell is a good pick. I shouldn't have brought that up. But Ambry Thomas, probably gone.
Well,
first round pick 2020, Javon Kinlock, gone.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie Werner, sixth round pick, gone.
They make a lot of mistakes in the first and in the third, fourth.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they usually make a ton of mistakes, mm-hmm. and they're really good at finding those guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round.
Right. Well, and that's... And that's why I think, that's why you have to argue that I think they are good at drafting, because 2020, Juwan Jennings, seventh round, third receiver, Colton McKivitz, fifth round, starting right tackle, Brandon Ayuk, first round, we know he's good, Elijah Mitchell, sixth round pick, wound up being a starter for them until Christian McCaffrey came in, Talanoa Hufanga, fifth round, all pro, Diamador Lenore, starter in the slot, fifth round, Jalen Moore, swing tackle, fifth round, Aaron Banks, second round, starting left guard.
That's a great draft.
That's an awesome draft.
What draft is that?
2021.
Oh, yeah.
That's an awesome draft.
And their latest draft looks similar, right?
2024 is trending the right way.
Yeah, it's trending the right way.
But then 22, Brock Purdy, final pick of the draft. Nick Zakel, Kalia Davis, rotational guys in the trenches in the sixth round, you'll take that. Spencer Burford got some starts in the fourth round, you'll take that.
Yeah.
Jair Brown going to be their starting free safety this year. Potential breakout candidate, third round pick last year. Yeah, man, it's just, I think when you whiff early in the draft as often as they do, it's really, really tough to go, yeah, that's a really good drafting team. But at the same time, part of the reason they're so good is because they've found Brock Purdy's in the seventh round and Fred Warner in the third and George Kittle in the fifth. Like, that's just, it's been their MO. And that, to me, if you're connecting on four draft picks, I don't care where they're drafted. If they're starters, all pros, pro bowlers, whatever, that's a W to me.
No, I get that. I get that. It just feels like they do miss quite a bit. And they always have a ton of compensatory picks.
Mm-hmm.
So they have extra picks to swing, mm-hmm. to take some of these swings.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, maybe that's where it's just like you're doing the laws of averages.
Yeah. And I think what happens is later in the draft, maybe it's later in the draft, Kyle Shanahan goes away.
Oh, that's possible.
That might be it. But I think early in drafts, like Ricky Pearsall, I think they drafted Ricky Pearsall because they said, or Shanahan said, whoever it was, I think it was Shanahan. Oh, hey, we got to go. Thanks. Dude, you got to be louder about that. You don't have to. We got to go. We'll continue this conversation in the second hour. That's James and Kyle. We got to go.
Yep.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen, he's James Hamm. Talking some NFL today, the day after cuts. seeing a ton of movement around the league. Nothing super notable yet for the 49ers or the Raiders. The Raiders did cut Byron Young, second-year defensive tackle out of Alabama, but no major, nothing crazy, nothing insane. Just
yeah, nothing crazy.
There is one note that affects a starter with San Francisco. Talanoa Hufanga was activated yesterday off of the physically unable to perform list, which means he is eligible to play week one. However, it was reported this morning by Adam Schefter of ESPN that Tracy Walker, the veteran safety who spent part of training camp and all the preseason with the 49ers, will be joining their practice squad with the expectation of being elevated in week one. Connecting some dots there, I think that means that the 49ers aren't super confident Talanoa Hufanga is going to be ready to play in that season opener. So I think he will be an inactive for that game, and Walker will be up as the fourth safety.
That's probably the best idea.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to rush him back. I mean, you don't want him to miss, you know, 3-4 weeks just because.
Yeah.
But if you can buy him a little bit of time, especially since you've had a group of, you know, starters already throughout all of preseason, all of training camp, guys who are literally working the job, but you need some veteran support, that makes just a ton of sense. Just like buy Hufanga like a couple of weeks. Just like, so we're not rushing.
Yeah. And like you said, if he had stayed on the PUP list, he would have had to miss a minimum of 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So this shows that he just needs a week, maybe two. And it makes sense. He's coming back from a torn ACL. He hasn't practiced at all yet. I think they get a bonus practice or two this week.
Okay.
And then next week, you get Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because they play Monday. So everything gets, gets pushed back a day. So they practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They get Sunday off, and then they play Monday. So if Hufanga is coming back from a torn ACL, hasn't practiced, and he gets Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then, go play in a game. That's tough. That's really tough.
Yeah, it's just, you know, again, we're talking about an ACL, and you want him to be as healthy as possible. 17-game schedule is crazy, and you want him to be comfortable and confident in what his body can do at that point. And I don't think you can get that without being on the field and at least getting a couple of weeks of practice and really feeling like you're 100%, you're all there, your body is right. And especially at the NFL level, you just don't want to see another injury because you haven't, because you pushed something.
And that's why he didn't practice at all during training camp too, or during the preseason, is because, okay, he went to the doctor, he had a good doctor's visit in the middle of August, but they weren't just going to go, hey, go play. He had a bunch of other football activities he had to do first. You gotta run and cut and dive and jump. You got to make sure that knee is fully ready to go before you start hitting people and having people hit you. So, that's what I think, like I said, connecting those dots. Maybe it's just insurance, and they'll have five safeties up on in week one. But I think it's trending toward Hufanga not playing.
Okay.
That's where that lands. That's the notable thing. You said the Steelers named Russell Wilson their starting quarterback today?
Yeah, that's according to reports.
I wonder why. You have one more year of Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And then he's a free agent. Why would you not want to just give him a full year to see what he has? You're paying Russell Wilson like $1 million.
Well, that, and I mean,
and if Justin Fields is atrocious, then you go back to Russ.
I guess, like, what are you expecting to get out of Russell Wilson? Like, we've kind of seen it. Even, like, he recovered and had a better season last year than he had in previous years. But it still wasn't like, oh my gosh, look how good they were. You know, it was still a tough season. And so I don't know what you're hoping to get. I guess, you know, if you're a coach who's never had a sub 500 record, and you're looking at a guy who led a team that whether you believed in the Broncos or not last year, I mean, he was able to post an 8-9 record, with Wilson under center for 15 games, posted a 7-8 record. I guess maybe you're like, okay, he still has something left in the tank, but I'm with you. I would much rather see Justin Fields step on the field and, like, let's see if he can be like the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just tough to imagine like you're going to get much out of like a 36-year-old Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Russell Wilson is just hoping to cling to 9-8. Like you're hoping that.
That's what it feels like Mike Tomlin is banking on too, that Russell right. Wilson will continue his streak as opposed to giving yourself an opportunity.
And I say this because supposedly they had and I was not super tapped into Steelers training camp, so if there's a big Steelers fan out there and I have this wrong, please update me in the chatty house. But from what I understand, there was a quarterback battle.
Yep.
But it has been, from what I've seen, understood that Russell Wilson was going to be the starter. Yep. Like that's been the case for a while. I think your ceiling is so much higher with Justin Fields, and maybe there was a genuine battle there and Russell Wilson is just head and shoulders above Fields. But if it's even close, I'm taking the younger guy who's the biggest, fastest dude on the field and seeing if he can make enough plays to win us some games.
I agree, and what I don't want to see is like they go 1-4 or like 2-5 to start the season. It's like, oh, okay, well, let's try Fields now. It's like, all right, so you're going to test drive him for like 10 or 11 games and hope that maybe see enough from that to give him a...
Also, Russell Wilson wasn't atrocious last year. He wasn't like the worst quarterback in the league or anything like that. So I get why the Steelers might have concluded that, hey, right now he's the better quarterback than Justin Fields.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't inspire a ton of confidence for me.
No, I mean, he threw for, in 15 starts, he threw for 3,070 yards, 26 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions.
Yeah.
He also, 66.4% of his passes, but I think it's something that we've seen over the last couple of years from him. He just doesn't throw. Like, he checks down every time.
A lot of checkdowns, lot of short throws.
Just a lot of little dink and dunk type stuff, and it's like, okay, if that's who they are, that's fine.
And maybe it is. Yeah. Maybe it's they want to throw it to Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth and then hit those moonshots to George Pickens, and that's going to be their offense.
Yeah.
I'm just not super optimistic. And this goes back to kind of what we were talking about yesterday. If I'm in the Steelers position and I'm Mike Tomlin and I know that, hey, I've got pretty good job security here, I'm taking the bigger swing because you're in a division now with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, and then let's say you make the playoffs, and we just talked about this. They're going to have the worst quarterback in every single playoff matchup they have, and maybe that would be the case with Justin Fields too, but I would rather bank on the latter. I would so much rather bank on Justin Fields.
I'm with you, and again, I think part of the problem is you're looking at a almost 36-year-old Russell Wilson versus a 25-year-old Justin Fields, and Fields hasn't exactly lit the world on fire. And,
no, he hasn't been very good.
No, he just hasn't. And he's not a guy who's hit the deep ball at all either. But I think at least he gives you some sort of like opportunity where I just don't think that that's the case at all.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the case. Thing. Yeah, it's very strange.
What a weird thing. Can you? No, never mind. I just feel like that wouldn't happen in the NBA.
I don't think
you would ever see, I don't know. I don't even have a good, what's a good, Jalen Green. I don't think you'd see, please don't take this the wrong way. I don't mean this in a mean way.
Okay.
Let me explain and understand that when I say this, there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction from some people to be like, wow, what a jerk, not being a jerk. Hear me out.
Okay.
I don't think you would see the Houston Rockets start Harrison Barnes over Jalen Green.
Just because,
hey, this gives us a better chance to maybe make the play-in. Like, no, NBA teams are going, hey, here, unless they're Golden State, where, hey, you know what, they've been competing for titles, their young guys are just not going to play, they're going to lean on the vets. But if you're a young team, if you're a team like Pittsburgh that, hey, that probably not winning a title this year.
No.
Okay, we got a couple of nice players, but it's not, this isn't a roster that's gonna go to a Super Bowl or an NBA Finals. You're playing the young guy. But in the NFL, there's this like, Oh, veterans. Got to lean on the veterans.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Not nearly as fun.
Someone brings up the Marvin Bagley, Nemanja Bjelica. Sal brings up in the chat.
That's a good one.
It's a good point. So the first year, I mean, this was a Dave Yeager thing. He wanted to make sure a young guy earned it, right? And so he didn't start Marvin Bagley. Mm-hmm. He started Nemanja Bjelica. Mm-hmm. He also, like, knowing Dave, Dave hated not having a stretch four. Mm-hmm. Like, he needed a stretch four for his offense to work. Mm-hmm. Like, I had these conversations with him, like, the whole time. Like, in order for his offense to work, mm-hmm. you needed that guy. If your center can't shoot the three, you're power mm-hmm. forward. Like, the modern NBA, you have to have a four that can shoot the three. Mm-hmm. It's just like a basic. And Marvin Bagley couldn't really shoot the three. Mm-hmm. He shot like 38.9% at Duke in the 1 year, but it was such a minimal amount of attempts. And then you get Nemanja Bjelica pulling up from 28 mm-hmm. feet and had unlimited range. So in year one, he tried to make Marvin earn it as opposed to just walking in the door as a number two pick and just getting mm-hmm. handed a starting job. That didn't work out really well because, number one, it set off the front office, especially Brandon Williams. Mm-hmm. But number two, it also set off Marvin's dad. And so you had these dueling banjos doing stupid things the whole time, right? Like his dad going out and saying stupid stuff on the internet and then, you know, the other guy going out to the media and like mm-hmm. trying to get the coach fired. So that didn't work out, but I understood the principle of it.
Sure.
Even when the Kings drafted De'Aaron Fox a year before with the number 5 overall pick, they also signed George Hill, and George Hill started early in the season. Mm-hmm. And it became very apparent very quickly that De'Aaron Fox was a better option than George Hill, which mm-hmm. was a whole other situation because George Hill just didn't seem like he really wanted to play basketball mm-hmm. anymore. So you had like this transfer happen really quick with the Marvin Bagley thing. Then they ended up just burning Nemanja Bjelica like the next year and starting Marvin and just putting like basically Nemanja Bjelica out the pasture after he had really put up a good season for them. And sure, mm-hmm. he had his problems as well, like couldn't defend at a high level and all that stuff, but it's not like you're replacing him with a guy who could defend. Mm-hmm. And so the thing spun out of control, like, and like just the feel, the vibe yeah. between all of it was not good, where at some point you had to just mm-hmm. move away from Nemanja Bjelica completely. He became mm-hmm. a problem. And then Marvin, every time you thought you had something, he would get hurt. Mm-hmm. And so you always had these step backs. And I like realistically that year, Bjelica was pissed because he was like, I earned that spot and he did not. And mm-hmm. I should be starting. And I don't care that he's the future. I'm the better player today mm-hmm. and I'll probably be the better player tomorrow and the next day. Mm-hmm. And so there was like an honest to goodness understanding there. So it does happen on occasion at the NBA level.
So maybe that's what happened with the Steelers.
Yeah.
Maybe they went, hey, Justin Fields might be the future. We really like, that's why we brought him in. But Russell Wilson's a better player today. And that's where we're going to go. Maybe that is the philosophy.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I was surprised, like, Fields finished 9th in MVP balloting, like, 2 years ago. And
yeah,
I'm like,
man, he was a monster.
Man, they're 3-12. His team was 3-12, but he had over 1,100 yards rushing.
Yeah, he was sick.
Yeah,
in the last part of the year.
Yeah, so it's kind of intriguing how, like, you're not going to give that guy an opportunity when,
right.
like, we know who Russell Wilson is.
Yeah.
And for the last 3 years,
yeah,
maybe four, it's yeah. not good.
Yeah,
he's a
solid veteran who if you're just trying to keep your ship afloat and you want your cool going 9-8 and maybe 10-7, maybe sneaking into the playoffs. Okay.
I'd even look at Russell as more like a faded superstar. Mm-hmm. Like a guy who at one point was a star mm-hmm. and he's just no longer. Mm-hmm. He like whatever for whatever reason he lost a fastball. He got it back a little bit last year. Mm-hmm. But that you're excusing like the year or two before where he was just realistically not a good quarterback.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, maybe he's got the love of the game and you're going to ride the veteran.
I don't know.
You know, the idea of the veteran leader and all that, but I don't get that vibe from him at all. I'd rather have a guy who goes out there and can rush for 1,100 yards, especially if you don't have all of the specialty players to get it done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's okay, and that's the other aspect of this.
Yeah.
If this was the 49ers and the 49ers were starting Russell Wilson instead of Justin Fields, you'd go, all right, you feel better about his ability to distribute the ball to the playmakers. That's what the offense is. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like the Steelers are chock full of offensive playmakers. Their backup running back is by all accounts better than their starting running back. Pat Freiermuth at tight end is a solid player.
Mm-hmm.
George Pickens is a productive receiver. And then,
I'd even make this claim, Guile. If you would have made the trade for Brandon Ayuk, then maybe it makes more sense to start Russell Wilson.
Yeah, even right.
But
even
you didn't.
Even adding a player like, okay, yeah, no, we're Brandon Ayuk, and it's going to open up all this stuff for George Pickens.
With Pickens.
Yeah, like, okay, now we're going to, we just want distribute. Dude, put another playmaker on the field, man.
That's not what you have. That's not who your team is.
I would love to talk to a Steelers coach. I want to know what went into it. I would be curious to know. Maybe not even a coach. I would love to talk to a Steelers beat writer.
Mm.
I'm not going to do that on this show because we have 2 hours and I'm not going to take it up with
we've already talked a lot
Steelers
of,
beat writer.
A lot of Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson.
This is one of my players that I don't I'm trying to think of a player who I have not. Russell Westbrook, for example. I used to just be out. I don't like the cut of that guy's jib. I don't like that he's, you know, I wasn't a fan.
Mm-hmm.
He has won me over. I am now in the camp of like, man, Russell Westbrook, what a guy. Like I think the stuff he does in his community is great. I think the fact that he has now accepted a bench role is great, and I think that's really cool, and he just wants to hoop, and that's awesome. I've been won over. I don't think there's anything Russell Wilson could do to win me over.
Mm.
I'm just out. Full out.
That's okay. I fully agree with you. I mean, like, watching him, like, just fall apart over the last couple of years, like...
Good!
Yeah.
No, I think that was harsh. But he torched the 49ers for so long,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, gah! This guy... And it wasn't... He was obviously awesome. He'll probably be a Hall of Famer. Won a Super Bowl. Had a remarkable run there with the Seahawks. But it wasn't like Patrick Mahomes, right? It wasn't like even Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or any of the guys we talked about yesterday where you go, man, that guy has just been dominant today.
Mm-hmm.
It was, no, it's Russell Wilson running around. He took a bad sack here. He threw a bad interception there. Oh, hey, look at that. Had that one scramble where he threw a touchdown on the scramble. Oh, picked up a big first down with his legs. Oh, moonshot Tyler Lockett, ball game.
Mm-hmm.
Not Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, ball game. Like, wait, how did they win 16-9? How did that? They were down 9 points 30 seconds ago. How did they get? And that was just game after game, and it was just so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And then his off-field stuff where he's... from everything in the media, a very awkward weirdo.
Yeah, like odd. He is a 9-time Pro Bowler, and at one time, and
yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's
probably
he was incredible. What he set, I think he set the rookie passing touchdown record, and he just stepped on the field day one and was awesome.
Yeah.
No doubt, that definitely plays into it. But if it was just that, there would be a begrudging like, man, it's really good. Patrick Mahomes had beat the 49ers twice in the Super Bowl. It's just like, dang, what a player. What are you going to do, you know? Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, James Harden, when he was cooking, LeBron and Kyrie in the 2016 finals, just, man, what are you going to do? Like, tip of the hat.
Yeah.
I don't want a tip of the hat. I don't want a tip of the hat, Russell Wilson.
Okay. Just that's okay.
Major thumbs down.
Well, that in era of great quarterbacking, I mean, he made a bunch of Pro Bowls, but... At the end of the day, what is he in this era of quarterbacks? He's nowhere near the top five.
Like, ooh.
Because I like what era, do you, what era do you put him in? I don't know.
He was drafted in 2012.
Okay, maybe. Maybe he is.
I think he is.
In that group?
I think.
You think he's top five?
I'm going back to old NFL drafts here. Oh, I need to get away from the... I was on the 49ers draft page. I need to get to the regular full draft page. All right. The 2012 draft, that was Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Griffin III was in that draft.
I just saw this. I saw Ryan whole thing Tannehill. On this. All the guys that are no longer in the league or...
Brandon Whedon, Brock yep. Osweiler, yeah. Russ, obviously, Nick Foles, Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins ahead of Nick Foles? Or no, I'm sorry, ahead of Russell Wilson?
No.
No?
No, even with the like the Kirk Cousins like reinvention, mm-hmm. I don't think he's... Okay. He's behind him by 4,000 yards in passing yards. He not nearly as many Dang. Pro Bowls. He does.
He's also played 42 fewer games. Cousins has.
I don't even know why I bring up Pro Bowls. Pro Bowls are a joke in the NFL.
They're very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wilson's got a ton of rushing yards on him. Bunch of rushing touchdowns. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, Tannehill's not there.
No.
And then three dudes who are not
a bunch of career backups from that draft.
I'm fixated on this Russell Wilson thing now. I'm just going to start digging through old drafts. Okay, 2013, EJ Manuel, no. Geno Smith, no. Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley, Ryan Nassib.
Some bad drafts.
Yikes, dude.
That's why I think the quarterback draft thing is always one of the most interesting aspects because like more often than not, they don't pan out.
Mm-mm. And it's really hard.
Yeah.
Cam Newton? Cam at his peak was better than Russ, but all time, Cam's not ahead of Russ.
No, it actually looking at guys that are around him in draft years, he probably is, but like what era do you put him in? I don't know that there's a lot of eras that like there's actually quarterbacks that taken in like 2010s. He's easily got more yards than anyone.
Yeah, I think and let's just do the quarterbacks of the 2010s.
Mm.
It's Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, probably, in that mix.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the end of Peyton, right? But we, no.
I think you include Peyton Manning in there.
Rivers, Roethlisberger. No, he's not top five. Russell Wilson's not top five when you start.
You know what? I take that back. I'm not. I don't think I'm including Peyton Manning in the 2010s.
Okay.
Because he won that last Super Bowl in 15, and he had a noodle arm by then.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Although Manning did beat Russ in a Super Bowl.
I mean, Flacco.
Russ is ahead of Joe Flacco. Get out of here.
Yeah. What about Eli Manning?
Ooh.
What about Matt Ryan?
Dang, that one's tough.
See, there's no way he's top five.
Like, I'm not going to say no way.
Okay.
I think there's arguments to be made.
Okay.
All right. Anyways, I fell down the Russell Wilson rabbit hole, and now we're here. Now we got a break. we'll talk some more King stuff. We'll have some more NFL stuff coming up as well. That's James and Kyle. We're the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We've got a lot of quarterback stuff the last couple days. You say we had Kings news? NBA news? Something?
I don't know. We have more information on the Netflix sports series Starting Five, which follows five NBA players, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, Domantas Sabonis, and Jason Tatum during the 2023-24 season. So they're capturing the double-double streak from Sabonis, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 10-part series, which is cool. And you're going to get a lot of stuff. The write-up on LeBron on Sabonis, he anchors the Kings with his versatile play. But then the executive producers and the so the production company is the Uninterrupted, which is... of course, LeBron James and Maverick Carter's like brainchild, right? It's also a local guy, Jimmy Spencer, has worked for the Uninterrupted for years. I think he's one of their head guys. But the executive producers of this, Maverick Carter, Jamal Henderson, Philip Byron, Randy Mims, but also Barack and Michelle Obama.
Oh.
And Peyton Manning.
Oh, sure.
So, like,
Murderer's Row of,
like, why not?
Film,
like,
producers.
Yeah, so somebody, they have produced a lot of stuff. So Uninterrupted has been doing, they did the Hustle, the Redeem Team, Neymar.
Redeem Team's really good.
Yeah, they did a lot of different things. And then this is a second sort of series by the Obamas. And Peyton Manning did the quarterback and King and Collectibles.
Huh.
And the receiver. That's his production company.
Wait, the receiver or receiver?
No, receiver.
Did he also do quarterback?
Yeah.
Okay.
Quarterback and King of Collectibles.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Those are all Peyton Manning's Omaha productions.
Mm.
So.
Good for Peyton.
Peyton's a cool dude, isn't he?
He's lit. I don't know the guy personally, but man, he seems really cool. And what a life. Like, what a cool thing to do after you're done playing. You get to just watch some Monday Night Football games with your brother and talk to celebrities while you do it. And you get to throw your name on, like, I promise Peyton is not hands-on in the production of Starting Five, the behind-the-scenes NBA program.
No, but they might have, like, part of the other group, like the receiver or receiver and the quarterback and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have had their stamp on some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are they the money behind it, but they're probably also part of, like, the think tank that goes on when they're producing that stuff. Maybe. I might be wrong, but it seems like...
I don't doubt it with the NFL stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't doubt that, hey, because they have a insight to what players are thinking and what would be interesting and what things to show that fans don't usually get to see or that fans might find interesting, or that they think fans might find interesting. What is he offering the production of a basketball show?
Well, I think it's going to be the same idea of humanizing players that that the other shows did.
Yeah.
So how do we capture? And, like,
I would love to know how involved he is.
I would say, like, Eli Manning, this is kind of what I'm hoping for Sabonis. Like, if you look at Eli Manning throughout his career, I mean, he's got two Super Bowls, right? But outside of that, he was either hot or cold. He was, like, in an era of great quarterbacks, we didn't even really bring him up in the discussion.
No, but he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
But he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's got two Super Bowl rings, and a lot of what happened in those Super Bowls was on him, right? And so I think what we've seen, though, post-career has humanized him and made me much more of a fan of Eli Manning than when he was a quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it's the show, like him and his brother, or whether it's like commercials, whatever it might be, I feel like a much bigger connection to him than I did, again, when he actually played.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that that's something like the gateway that we see here with Sabonis, where you just feel something different for him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I have a fun game to play now that you've brought up Eli Manning. Eli Manning, he played 16 seasons in the NFL, 236 games, 234 starts. He started all 234 games. 227 games he played after his rookie year. Two-time Super Bowl winner, one-time Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner. How many All-Pro teams did Eli Manning make?
Zero.
Zero is the correct answer. How many Pro Bowls did Eli Manning make in his 16-year NFL career?
Two.
No, not quite. Four.
Four. Okay.
Four-time Pro Bowler, two-time Super Bowl champion, no-time All-Pro. Led the league in passing yards?
Zero.
Zero times. Led the league in touchdowns?
Zero.
Zero times. Led the league in interceptions?
Oh, twice?
Three.
Three.
Three times.
Yeah. Like, honestly...
He's getting the playoffs. He's just cash.
Okay, so this will probably upset people, but he is this generation's Troy Aikman. I think that's where I would put him. Like, Troy Aikman was on a great team, and they won, right? But you... like Troy Aikman could have been picked up in week 9 on every fantasy team in every year he played. Like, he was available on the waiver wire. You did not have Troy Aikman as one of your fantasy quarterbacks.
6-time Pro Bowler. He finished 5th in MVP voting in 93.
Okay.
No All Pros. And a 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Man.
So.
Also a Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like that comp. Although he never.
But look,
never led the league in interceptions.
But look at that era of quarterbacks, and mm-hmm. you could say, okay, Troy Aikman isn't a top. He's not a top.
Yeah, you got Montana, Young, Marino, just off the top of
well,
the dome.
Well, like Jim Kelly,
Jim Kelly,
Warren
for sure.
Moon,
mm-hmm. Randy Cunningham.
Yeah, guys who put up stats. Even like Jeff George has better career stats, I almost guarantee.
Stop. Jeff George is not a better quarterback than Troy Aikman.
No, but he had better career stats.
Sure,
I'm not saying he's a better quarterback.
Yeah.
No, but during that era, and Jeff George probably has more Pro Bowls and more everything else.
Mm.
Kerry Collins from that, you know, there are a lot of quarterbacks.
I would be shocked if Jeff George has more Pro Bowl appearances than Troy Aikman.
Would you say, oh, no, you're probably right.
Yes, 0.
Really?
He was 3rd in Offensive Player of the Year voting in his rookie year. Offensive Rookie of the Year voting.
Yep.
And Comeback Player of the Year, he finished 4th in 99. That is the extent of his awards.
He did
lead the league in passing at 97 with the Raiders.
Yeah, he was not a very well-liked dude.
Also led the league in sacks taken twice.
Yeah.
Oof.
What a slinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy that everybody now, although I think Jamarcus Russell has kind of taken that mantle of just guy with a cannon who just wasn't a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I know growing up, that was always anytime somebody in the draft, like big arm, but don't know if he can play, like, oh, he's Jeff George.
Yeah. I think Jeff George could really play, but I don't like not a great teammate and not someone that you want a leading year.
46-78 as a starter.
Yeah.
And great quarterbacks aren't doing that, whether he's on good teams or not.
Look at those. Yeah, the interception years, 18 interceptions.
Yeah. Tough. Where does, for you, oh, you know what? I'm going to put a pin in that. I want to finish up. We were talking about the quarterback tiers yesterday.
Yeah.
When the handoff started. Tier 1, Patrick Mahomes. This is via The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Tier 2, we talked about Lamar Jackson, Matthew Stafford. We never really got to Brock Purdy, though.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting because for me, in the second tier of these rankings, there's a really clear delineation in the second tier where it goes Aaron Rodgers, C.J. Stroud, and we argued about whether Aaron Rodgers should be there, but he is. C.J. Stroud 8, Dak Prescott 9. And it might cut off before or after Dak, depending on how you feel about Dak Prescott.
Okay.
But I'll just include him here for now. Dak, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Kirk Cousins, Jordan Love. Those 6 players, I think you could have thrown in any order and I would have had 0 disagreement.
Yeah.
And that's why I cut it off after Dak, because to me, if you're putting Dak behind like Jalen Hurts or Jared Goff at this point, I don't necessarily agree with that. But I think there are people who would comfortably move him down from number 9. But after Dak, Goff, Hurts, Purdy, Cousins, Love, that's interchangeable to me.
Yeah, I think this is a year that both Purdy and Love have an opportunity to climb into like the top 8 as far as like what you would look at as quarterbacks. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers will be in that list at that high.
So you think Aaron Rodgers falls out?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers falls out. But I also think
and one of
that,
those guys climbs in.
Yeah, especially the winning is going to matter.
But I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But that's why I say I think let's roll with that. Let's say Aaron Rodgers, you know what, he's cooked. The Achilles really, really,
yep.
you know, just diminished him to a point that he's just not that dude anymore. Maybe he's a top 20 guy, but he's not top 7.
Mm-hmm.
You could convince me of any player in that Goff, Hurts, Purdy, Cousins, Love category making the jump there. Like you, I would buy anything.
Yeah.
I think that Jared Goff, another year with the Lions, that's a really, really good ascending team. And you mentioned winning. If they win the NFC and they go to the Super Bowl, he wins the Super Bowl, he's comfortably going into the top seven. Jalen Hurts, same thing. If Jalen Hurts has a bounce back year, again, definitely possible. I think he's talented enough. Whether Nick Sirianni is a good coach or not, TBD.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Eagles bounce back and get on the track they were before their collapse last year, Jalen Hurts is right back there. Easy work.
So, yeah, I think Hurts I would put with Love and with Purdy,
mm-hmm.
where I think they have an opportunity. I think as of right now, like really Goff and Dak are statistically, they are who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. They're 4,500-yard passers.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And they're both right around 30 touchdowns, mm-hmm. right? So I just don't, I think the other guys are what you consider sort of a younger group.
Mm-hmm.
That has a potential to move up and...
Like, I see.
Yeah.
So you think Goff and Dak just kind of are who they are?
Yeah, and I think that they're really good at they are who they are.
But I also think, and this is, again, this is kind of what we were talking about yesterday, if the Cowboys get over the hump this year and Dak takes them to the NFC title game of the Super Bowl, Dak is going into the top five, more than likely.
Okay, yeah.
Jared Goff, same thing. If Jared Goff takes the Lions to the Super Bowl, he's moving way up on this list.
Maybe. I think
Goff... No, he is. That's how this goes.
It's possible, but I think that Goff is one of those guys that... part of it is because he's played for... This is his second team,
mm-hmm.
right? And so guys who don't... they're just viewed differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at all the top quarterbacks outside of... They're all on their same team that they started with. And for whatever reason, you get a slightly different look at a player
mm-hmm.
or you think of a player slightly differently when they're not on the team that drafted them.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I'm a very, very good quarterback. And I think it's very smart to put CJ Stroud where he is in that because even though statistically speaking, last season, Brock Purdy was a better quarterback than CJ Stroud, what CJ Stroud is going to be able to do in year two and year three is going to be crazy.
I have zero beef with CJ Stroud being ahead of Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I don't either.
Kenny?
What's going on, guys, first of all?
Talking quarterbacks. Again, okay. This is just the new thing on the handoff. We're just going to talk quarterback
Let's
rankings.
Do it.
We did it yesterday with Damian and Howard. First things first.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy ranked number 12 according to The Athletic.
Okay.
Where do you land with that?
I mean, that's fine. That's understandable.
I think that's right.
We talked, well, I'll tell you why it's not necessarily right.
Yeah,
potentially.
Please.
But I'll preface it by saying, you know, I don't feel like Brock Purdy gets, the respect that he deserves. You talked about CJ Stroud
mm-hmm.
a little bit, like Brock Purdy kind of almost just did what CJ Stroud did and nobody's going crazy over Brock Purdy the way they are CJ Stroud. And when I say that, I mean like rookie year, first full year. I mean, the numbers were crazy. The numbers were crazy for Brock Purdy.
Well, but the Texans were a pick to finish like last in the NFL last year. They made the playoffs.
I'll put it to you like this. If CJ Stroud would have done that on the Niners, the hype would have been the same. The Brock Purdy thing, me and Dame talk about this all the time. I don't think it can be ignored that people can't get over the fact that he was the last pick of the draft.
Yeah, I definitely think that's
a thing. If he was picked where C.J. Stroud was and had that year,
it's a good point.
He would be looked at like C.J. Stroud.
Okay, that's fair.
But I like C.J. Stroud. This isn't Brock versus C.J. C.J. Stroud is the truth. Like it's.
I think he's.
If people have him ranked ahead of Brock, I don't have no problem mm-hmm. with that at all. The two that I probably question that I know are probably ahead of him is Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't... Dak is cool.
Why is it... What is it with Dak? Because James and I talked a lot about him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just the lack of getting to an NFC title game or a Super Bowl?
I mean...
The numbers are all there. The winning is there.
Yeah, and but you hear me? Like, you've seen the Cowboys. The numbers are there. I think they I don't want to say they stat pad, but they stat pad. I'll say it. I'll say it. They'll be first and goal at the one, and Dak will drop back for a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kyle Shanahan's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy is doing everything that he's doing numbers-wise with the least amount of pass attempts in the league. I don't know where Dak is. Dak is probably, I'm going to guess, I could be wrong, he's probably top five, maybe top 10 in pass attempts.
Oh, no, he's number one in pass attempts.
No, I mean, Kenny, you're wrong. He's number one.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, I always talk about it. That's not right.
Oh, no, he's first in completions, 410 completions, 598 pass attempts.
Bruh, Sam Howell had 612 pass attempts last.
That's right, Sam Howell.
That's a problem.
We brought back that up. And he was just dying every time he dropped. That poor guy.
That's a problem.
He was so psyched when he got traded.
But
but Dak is fourth.
Dak is top five. So Dak, who is he's a cool quarterback. I just don't think he's where they put him all the time. Mm-hmm. But that wild card game against the Packers was a perfect, it encapsulated perfectly what I think Dak Prescott is. He threw for, I think, was it 400 yards or like high 300? He mm-hmm. had three touchdowns, I think two picks, and they never had a shot in that game. Partly because he didn't do anything in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dak Prescott to me. That game. The numbers are all there, and you just look at the numbers and be like, that wasn't Dak's fault. Well, then you watch the game, and you're like, yes, he threw like a 90-yard pick six. Mm-hmm. He was awful in the first half, and mm-hmm. he just spent the second half throwing the ball to accumulate. That, to me, that's Dak Prescott, that game.
That is such a crazy stat that you because when you said, we looked up how many passing attempts mm-hmm. Dak had, and the number's 590, right?
Yes.
Brock Purdy had 444 pass attempts.
Yeah.
Jesus. We're talking about almost 150 less attempts. And what did Dak finish yards wise? 4,500, 4,600?
Yeah.
Brock is at 4,280.
Yeah.
If he had the same, like, if he threw the same amount.
Hang on. I can do this very specific math for you. What is it? What did Dak have?
590.
Okay, I got it. Go ahead. Keep making your point.
And 590, and he threw for 4,516 yards.
If Brock Purdy averaged what he averaged per attempt on Dak's number of attempts, he would have had 5,664 passing yards.
Yes.
And you probably throw another 10 to 12 touchdowns on there. Maybe you throw two or three more interceptions.
You can do that, too.
So him and then Jalen Hurts, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I think Jalen is a talented guy, and there is a question of whether or not like the questions that
41 touchdowns.
41? That there is a question of whether how I feel about Jalen and the question marks I have for him is about him or about his coaching.
And for me, it's the coaching.
You know what I mean? Because Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni stinks, dude. I'm out.
So I looked at Jalen and I talked about this yesterday. The year they lost to Tampa Bay in the wild card round. I looked at that game. I looked at him. I was like, I don't think Jalen's it. Like, he not good at it. Like, he just ain't got it. Mm-hmm. He was up and down all year. And then in that big moment, he didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Then he comes back the next year and has an MVP season. Mm-hmm. He was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
He was outrageous.
Went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl.
He was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, even when they were like 7-1 or whatever it was, I was like, Jalen, something. Like, he's mm-hmm. running the ball. That's cool. But I don't like the way he's passing it. I think there's a way to play him, and it feels like the 49ers were at least, I'm not going to say they put the blueprint out there, but they were at least able to execute it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him out of the pocket. Mm-hmm. Keep him in the pocket. Don't over-pursue, and he'll struggle. Quiet is kept. That's what they did in the NFC Championship game when Brock went down.
Mm-hmm.
And Jalen wasn't that good in that game.
No.
So once they did that, it seemed like everybody else followed suit, and he just wasn't that good. So I don't know about Jalen Hurts. If you want to put Brock Dak or Jalen ahead of Brock, I understand it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Brock is a top 5 to 7 quarterback in the league.
Hmm.
Statistically speaking, Jalen Hurts was almost the identical quarterback in both of the two seasons you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The one difference, he threw 6 interceptions 1 year and 15 last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, I mean, he had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. Yeah. That's crazy. We got to go.
Yeah, we got to run. You guys were like 2 minutes late yesterday, so I want to make sure to get you out of here today. D-Lo and KC coming up next. I'm Kyle. That's James. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, back at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, drink water, be nice to people. Boop!